Well, we've heard a bit about boats already this morning and safety. And we all know about these kind of boats. There's hopefully a picture going to come up on the wall. Everybody recognises those boats, right? The RNLI lifeboats. And that's actually the one in Donaghadee in County Down, by the way. And you know what? These boats are specially designed and to face all kinds of weather conditions. But do you know what? No matter, regardless of all the fancy gadgets and all the fancy things in the boat, no boat could operate without a crew. And there's the crew. But most importantly, a captain. And while the crew may carry out the duties on the ship, the captain is the one who leads and keeps everyone together, especially in times of stormy weather. As we think of one crew and their captain this morning, we also think of another captain and his crew on a boat. In particular, Jesus and his disciples. And in the passage we heard earlier from chapter 4, verses 35 to 41 from Mark's Gospel, we see the power that Jesus has despite the storms we face in life and the troubles we go through. Jesus shows us that God is still in control. From this passage, we learn about those real storms that we can face in life and how we can feel in the middle of those times. But Mark here reminds us that no matter how great the storms are, we have a Savior. We have a Savior and God who is greater still. A God who loves us and cares for us. Jesus here also shows us how to deal with the storms we face and the support that we have in Him. But before we get to all of that, let's look at this passage together. After a full day of teaching and preaching, along with other things, Jesus was exhausted. And that evening, Jesus made the decision to leave the crowd and to go to the other side of the lake with his disciples. And there was an urgency in Jesus' decision to depart, and we see that from the Greek tense. And I wonder how many of us feel the same after a full day's work. We feel exhausted, and we just want to get home as quick as possible and put our feet up. Well, for Jesus, he was exhausted and he needed rest. Verses 35 to 36 explain this moment. Also the setting that they were not the only people on the Sea of Galilee. There were also other boats with them. Jesus makes his way to the stern of the boat where he wearily reclined on a pillow and went to sleep. The boat raised its sail and began the 5-mile trip across the lake. Sounds like a beautiful picture, doesn't it? A great image for a painting or something. Everything was peaceful. Everything was calm. But we know that was all about to change. Because out of nowhere, a storm erupted. Verse 37 explains that a furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat, so that it was nearly swamped. Picture this for a moment. This was no simple storm. Mark describes this as waves repeatedly crashing into the boat. And the storm was so bad that Mark actually uses the Greek word seismos, which means earthquake. The storm was literally that powerful that it felt like the lake was being physically shaken. I don't know if any of you have seen the film The Perfect Storm, starring George Clooney and Mark Wahlberg. And if you go back a slide, should be. There we go. It's quite dark to see. But it's a film about an intense storm that catches some commercial fishermen off guard and puts them in mortal danger. And this scene from the movie, which really captures for me what Mark was describing here in these verses, This was no simple storm, because the disciples were experienced fishermen. They knew what it was like to be on the lake. They knew what it was like to be in a storm. But this was something else. This was different. I have to say, I'm not the greatest fan of boats, never mind being in a boat during stormy weather. I remember as a kid going over to Scotland on the HSS, and I was always worried. I always used to ask Mum and Dad, will we get over okay? Will the boat sink? Will it be all right? I used to be really terrified. I just did not like it. But you know what? Most of us have experienced at some point being on a boat in choppy weather. It's not a great feeling. That feeling of the boat plunging down into the water like being on an elevator, and then rising up like being on some sort of carnival ride. It's certainly not a pleasant experience. Well, imagine that, but much, much worse. This is what the disciples were facing on the boat. And to be honest, most of us at this point would either be being sick or panicking. But what was Jesus doing? Well, if we look at verse 38, Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. How on earth did he sleep through this storm? Was he just so exhausted from the day that he just needed rest? Or was it simply because he was just a deep sleeper? We don't know. Well, we certainly see what the disciples thought in the last part of verse 38, which says the disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown? Don't you care?" Do you know what? This is a picture of what seems like Christ's apparent obliviousness to what was going on. And you know what? We can feel the same at times in our own lives when those storms are going on. So many times in life when we are in the middle of our own personal storms, our difficulties, our trials, our stresses, our worries, we can be like the disciples and say, "Teacher, Jesus, don't you care? Don't you care what's going on in my life right now? Don't you care if I drown in them?" You know, we panic and think that everything is going to collapse in those moments. And it's in those moments we feel that God is asleep, out of sight and out of mind. And we struggle, don't we? We struggle and we maybe doubt as well. But we mistakenly decide that we are alone, that no one, not even God, cares or understands what we are feeling or going through. But how wrong we are. Because God knows every challenge we face and every wave that hits us each and every day. And do you know what? He cares for us. God uses these storms sometimes to help us, as one commentator writes concerning the disciples, where he says they had no way at that terrible moment of knowing it. But that miserable storm was a vehicle for teaching them about God and his power in their lives. You see, this storm that the disciples were facing was essential to their spiritual development. The same commentator writes, "Without difficulties, trials, stresses, and even failures, we would never grow to be what we should become." The storm here for the disciples was certainly a step up, even though they didn't realize it. But it was a storm that was necessary for the disciples' spiritual development, as was the calm that was about to follow. There was no doubt the disciples were full of fear. They were frantic because they thought simply they were going to die. They had this mindset that sometimes we can have, that because we are Jesus' followers, nothing bad would happen to them. But just because they were Jesus' disciples didn't mean they were protected from the storms. And we certainly live in a world today where as Christians, We face many kinds of storms, tornadoes, hurricanes, floods, but also the storms of sickness, accidents, disappointments, and even death. But Paul the Apostle, along with many others, faced many perils of their own. So just because we are Christians doesn't mean that we won't face storms in life. Jesus himself warned us about the storms we will face as Christians when he says in John 16, verse 33, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Jesus has overcome the world. And when we face those storms, we must remember that we have a God who is bigger. He is bigger and who has all the power so that we can be cheerful even in those difficult times, because he has overcome the world. You see this, we see this power in action in verse 33. When Jesus got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. Now let me be clear here. Jesus didn't wave his hands or cast a spell like something out of Harry Potter. He simply spoke, "Quiet, be still." And the wind died down, and the sea was calm and still. The truth here is clear to see. But for the disciples, it would take them a much longer time to fully process it. Jesus showed in this moment that all power belonged to him, because Jesus is the Creator, the Sustainer, and Savior. And when we trust in Jesus, we find that in those storms of life, when we turn to him, that Jesus comes to us and says to those storms that we are facing, "Quiet, be still." So how does Jesus respond to the disciples? Well, if we remember the scripture, we notice he asks two questions in verse 40. The first one is, "Why are you afraid?" And the second one is, "Do you still have no faith?" Essentially, what Jesus was saying was, "Do you still not know me? Do you still not know me? Do you still not believe in me? If you knew how I loved you, you would have stayed calm." The disciples, as we know, were terrified and asked each other a question. Who is this? Who is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him. For the disciples, this certainly was much food for thought. What is the kind of faith needed to cast out fear, even in the greatest storms in life? Simply, it's a faith that believes in the power and love of Christ. You see, Christ faced the only storm that could sink us, and that is the storm of sin. But Jesus bowed his head on that cross, and it swept him away, all in order to save us, you and me, from sinking. Because he cares for us and he loves us. Jesus also promised his return, that he will come back, and when he does, he will calm every storm, still all the waves, and destroy death itself. So when it comes to our own personal times, when it comes to our own personal struggles and storms, we must remember who Jesus is. And we must remember what Jesus did for us to calm the ultimate storm to save us. And when we realize that he didn't abandon us in that storm, then we can be assured that he won't abandon us in the smaller ones. When we see that God loves us and cares for us through Christ, then we will receive the power to handle any storm that comes our way. The question for us this morning is, do you believe in his power? Do we believe in his power? Do we believe in his love for us? This is the kind of faith we need. A faith that sees that Jesus is not removed from the situations, from the storms we're going through, but he's actually in the boat with us, facing those storms with us. So when we are faithful and Christ is in our boat, then we can be assured, we can be confident that our boat will not sink because our Savior is aboard. So what can we take away from this passage this morning as we face the storms of the rest of this year and we look to next year? Well, I want to reflect on the ways Jesus helps us to deal with the storms of life. And the first one is through faith. When we get afraid, we must have faith and remember that God will protect us if it's his will. And that one day God will deliver us to his heavenly city if we trust and believe and repent through his Son. That's the first one. Secondly, we have help through God's word, which prepares us to face the storms of life. And through the scriptures, God reveals his guidance and how to stand strong in those storms. What to do, what to say, and what not to do. Thirdly, we can deal with the storms of life through prayer, receiving the mercy and the grace to help us in our time of need. And through prayer, we receive the peace needed to guard our hearts and minds in those times of worry and trouble, to be strengthened and to be renewed in God's Spirit and love. And then fourthly and finally, we find help in Christ's sacrifice, remembering that Jesus stands ready, ready to save us, ready to protect us from the perfect storm to come. I don't know you this morning. I don't know what's going on in your own lives. But maybe there is something this morning that you are fearful about. Maybe there is something, some storm in your life, some storm on the horizon that is coming. And you're worried about it. You're concerned and you don't know what to do. Or maybe you're even facing that storm right now. Will understand and believe. It's through the storms of life that we grow. And that Christ wants you to grow and develop through the storms ahead. As one commentator writes, know that he is completely capable of delivering you through the storms ahead, because he has the power and is the same Christ who calmed the storm. So when you face those storms, remember, he is there with you, facing those storms with you, giving you the strength to get through them, helping you to grow more in your faith. For when faith is active, fear vanishes. Remember that. For when faith is active, fear vanishes. Let us go away this morning remembering that no matter what storm that comes our way, if we are in the boat of Christ, then we shall never sink. Let us pray. Let us pray.